I planned on saying this, but when singing that song, I was reminded of an incident that happened years ago before I was pastoring. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the name above all names. Yeah. Well, that means he's the name above cancer.
Yeah.
He's the name above sickness and disease. He's the name above depression.
Yeah.
He's the name above poverty and lack. He's the name above depression and anxiety. He's the name above all names. And Jesus said this to us. He said in his word, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. And he also said in Mark 16, before he left the world, he said, in my name, he said, you'll cast out devils. In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Well, why was he saying that? Well, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, for those to be blessed, they had to be in proximity of where he was. But see, when he left us his name. Why? To continue his work on the earth. Now, what do you mean by the name? Well, Jesus left us the name. And if you know anything about power of attorney is you can act on the behalf of somebody else in their name. I used to be power of attorney for my dad. He passed away last year. She's coming up on the anniversary, 1 year anniversary. But before he had died, you know, he was sick for a while. And I was power of attorney for him. And, you know, whatever was in his account, I could, now I didn't abuse this, but I could write checks using his name, and it was legal because I was power of attorney for him. Whatever was in his account, I had access to. Well, Jesus said we could use his name. And this is when I was going to JCC, you know, and I had gotten saved. And, you know, I'd come off of 26 jobs in 2 years, 5 different colleges, the United States Marine Corps. They kicked me out of that because I was unfit mentally, you know, depression and fear. Got through boot camp shining and everything, but then they kicked me out. I was a mess, depressed, full of, you know, drugs, alcohol, gambling addiction. I was a mess before Jesus. And so I had had 26 jobs, 2 years, 5 different colleges, just all over the place. And I had gotten saved, and I was going to JCC, and I worked out at JCC at their gym that they had there. And there was a gentleman that I took a liking to, and he was real, real fond of me as well, real nice older man. And his name was Bob, and he was an elderly man. And you know, we talk, you know, just about life, and tell me about what's going on in his life, his grandkids, and with his wife and things. And just got to know him, became really friendly. And then after a time, I had come in to sign in. JCC, I signed and went into the gym, and Bob came up to me, and he just looked white as a ghost. And he said, "Mike," he said, I had some symptoms in my body, and I went to the doctor, and they told me that my body, they are pretty sure it's that all the blood tests and everything coming back. There was some other diseases, but one of the things he was talking about was cancer, and he said, it doesn't look good for me. You know, they've given me, you know, this amount of time to live, and they're going to do more tests on me, and they've already taken some x-rays, and they've seen some things show up, and you know, they just very fearful. He was devastated, and he wasn't working out that day because he was just there. He was just kind of got like to hang out there, and he was just beside himself. And it came up to me, Jesus said in Mark 16, they lay hands on the sick in my name. Well, when Jesus encountered sick people, he didn't let the sickness rule what he was going to do. He acted on behalf of God, you know, and Jesus told me I can act in his name. And we just sang about the name of Jesus, the powerful, the wonderful, the beautiful name. And I remember that verse came up in my heart. You know, of course, you get nervous, you know, naturally in your mind and in your flesh. You know, what's he going to think? Bob, I didn't know if he was a churchgoer, knew if he knew anything about God. In fact, I assumed he didn't because, you know, I had talked a little bit about that stuff, but it just wasn't anything that interested him. And he could tell he kind of pushed the conversation away. And I said to him, I pulled him off the side. I said, Bob, I said, I know a healer. His name's Jesus. And in the Bible, he went around and he healed people that were sick. It was one of the main things that Jesus did. He preached, he taught, and he healed people. He's a healer, praise God. And I said, Jesus told me, Bob, that if I lay hands on the sick in his name, I said, I don't have any healing power, any healing abilities. I don't have anything, you know, that I can offer except what he's given me. I said, but would you let me pray for you, Bob? Would you let me lay hands on you and pray for you in the name of Jesus? And I was thrilled, you know, that he said yes. It's kind of like the Amish friends that I had met, and their baby was born, and they were in children's hospital, and they were sick. And I had on my heart to drive up to Buffalo. I only had met them for a day. First time, I only met the dad one time, and I didn't know what they believed and anything. And I walked in the room, and their poor little baby was so sick. And I said to him, his name's Daniel and Ruth. I said, can I pray for your baby? I thought for sure they'd say no, you know. Oh, sure. I took that baby in my arms, prayed in the name of Jesus, and those symptoms, they went away within 2 days, and they were home. See, that I don't have any healing power, but Jesus does. The Christian that will act. And anyways, so I said, Bob, would you let me pray? And I thought he'd say, no, here we are in a public space. You know, I mean, we're off to the side, but there's people in the gym. He said, sure, that'd be wonderful. I said, oh, praise God, you know. And I laid hands on Bob. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Your healing power is going through him now according to what you said in your word. In the name of Jesus, you're above, that name is above. It has authority over that sickness and disease. Prayed for him. He thanked me, gave me a hug, you know. Well, it was a couple days later. Bob was getting ready to go back to figure out the course of what they were going to do for him. And I walk in, I sign in, there's donuts. You know, it's funny, donuts at a gym, but that's my kind of gym anyways. I don't know about you, but that's my kind of gym. And there's donuts up there, and people are all excited. They're saying, talking about Bob and everything, and you got to talk to Bob. So I couldn't wait to go find him. He come run up to me. He says, I just went for my follow-up test yesterday. I had to go to Cleveland Clinic or something. That's where it was, in Cleveland. And he said, they can't find anything. The doctors are stunned. They're flabbergasted. Everything that was there, that was on the x-ray, that was in the blood, where everything is normal now. And I thought, Jesus is wonderful. But see, here's this. A lot of people don't know this stuff. Church I grew up in didn't tell me a lick about this. Church I grew up didn't tell me anything about this stuff. And most people go on with not knowing. And one of the things we're talking about in this series, this is part two tonight, is the dangers of not knowing. Yeah. And I think, you know, what would have become of Bob if he had not run into a Christian who knew? Yeah. What would have become of Bob if he ran into a Christian? Because we see lots of people in the Bible that knew about Jesus, and so they went to Jesus, and their lives changed. What if they would have never known? Yeah. What would have been their outcome? What would have been the outcome of Pastor Mike Anderson had he not known that Jesus? I mean, I sat literally in the back of a Chevy Cavalier in 1996 with a .357 Magnum with the hammer cocked loaded in the back of my throat. That's how depressed I was. And God gave me a vision in that car, saved my life. I had a gambling addiction, a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction. None of these things have hold on me anymore. Amen. The name of Jesus. But what if I'd have never known? What if I'd have never found out that power that could heal, that power that could change lives? And so we're talking about the dangers of not knowing. And we'll start today in Hosea 4:6. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll put it up on the screen for you. But Hosea 4 in verse 6 is our first scripture. But this is part two. Part one was last week on live stream. You can go back and check that on the archives. But let's pray before we get into that. Father, help us this morning or this evening to do what you want us to do, to say what you want us to say. Father, I just want to help people. I just want to introduce people, show people what's available to them. Father, I'm so thankful. All the miracles I've experienced, where the doctor said there was no way, where the bank account or the calculator said there was no way, but you made a way, Father. I thank you. That's the kind of God you are. But Father, we have a part to play in this. And so, Father, help me tonight to say what you want said, to do what you want done. Father, we're here for you. And may we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And Father, I thank you that I'll open my mouth and speak and bullseyes will be hit in each person's heart. And what I mean by that is I'm going to say things so specific to each person's situation and circumstance, they're going to think, how in the world did he know that I needed to hear that? And the truth is, Father, I didn't, but you did. And so, Father, I make myself a willing vessel, a messenger of your goodness tonight. Father, help me to say and to do what you want done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is part two of the dangers of not knowing. And in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, this is amazing, this verse here. And then I'm going to couple it with what Jesus said in the New Testament. Notice what it says in the beginning. I'm just going to read that first statement. It says, my people are destroyed. Now, 4a. Now, you'd think, if you don't know anything about the Bible and you don't know this verse, there's a lot of things that we would put in there to think why people are destroyed, why people aren't successful. And they'd put in things like lack of a good job, you know, they'd maybe genetics, and this ran in, grandma got this, mom got this, so I have to get this, or, you know, my last name or the part of the world I grew up in. And no doubt those are influences and factors, but it's not why people are destroyed. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Look what he said there. He said, when they don't know some things, it doesn't turn out well. And isn't it amazing that the world tells us things like ignorance is bliss? You ever heard that statement before? I'm ringing a little bit up here. I don't know if we can do something about that. Please, Brandy. Ignorance is bliss. And what do they say? What you don't know can't hurt you. Haven't you heard that statement? What you don't know can't kill you. Well, the Bible says that's a whole different thing with what the Word of God says. God says what you don't know absolutely will hurt you. Amen? Now go with me to John 8 and verse 32. This is what Jesus said about the same thing. I love this verse. This verse, you live off this verse and realize some things, and this is where we're going to live tonight, is in this verse. But John 8, 32, look what he said. He said, and you shall, look at, know the truth. And notice this, the truth will make you free. So Jesus said that there's an ability to be made free in life. What is freedom? Freedom's not depression. Freedom's not anxiety. Freedom's not living bound by fear. You know, that's the way a lot of people live their lives. Freedom's not living paycheck to paycheck, skimping by and wondering how I'm going to get my next meal, how am I going to take care of my children. Freedom is not bondage in your body and being bound to a bed or bound to a sickness. That's not freedom. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I came to set people free. I came to give people life and life more abundantly. Remember what he said in Luke 4:18? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's he saying? There's answers for the poor. To preach deliverance to the captive. To heal the brokenhearted. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Remember he said those things? Hallelujah. He said, the recovering of the sight to the blind. What's he saying? I've come to set people who are living bound by what Satan offers. I've here to come to give them heaven on earth. Remember the children of Israel said that we'll live in days of heaven on earth? Remember Jesus said this, Father, we pray that, I mean, this is what religious people pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But think of the words he said. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is where? In heaven. He's saying, I want what's going on up there to invade what's going on down here. There's no sickness up there. There's no poverty up there. There's no depression up there. And there's no fear, anxiety, and worry up there. Now, I know that's pie in the sky to most people in the world, but they just don't know yet. I lived in bondage until I got knowledge of the truth, because he said if I would know the truth, I'd be set free. We're not in bondage other than any other reason than we don't know enough yet. You say, well, I'm in bondage and sickness. You just don't know enough yet. No, sickness is not holding you in bondage, because Jesus said if you know the truth, you'll be made free. It's not your paycheck and your lack of money that's holding you in bondage. It's not knowing what God has offered you. Amen? Hallelujah. It's just the truth. It's what Jesus has said to us. He's come to set us free, heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But so many people are living so far beneath. And you know what the answer usually is? Well, if this is how I'm living, this must be what God has for me. Come on, we've all thought that we have given God this abusive power, that he's the puppet master, that he can do whatever he wants. I think I'm going to make my child broke this week. I think I'm going to cause my child to have this disease on him. What kind of a father sends his son so you could be redeemed and go to heaven, but then makes your life a living hell on earth? Our God is not a deadbeat dad. You do know that, right? That when Jesus, I'm still ringing, I don't know if it's coming through there or where it is, but I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I can hear it, and maybe you guys can't hear it. But anyways, he said in Matthew 7, remember when he came up above some parents that had children? And he said to parents, now he was saying this facetiously with tongue in cheek. He said, which one of you, if your child was hungry, would give him a stone? What's he saying? The answer is nobody would do that to their kid. And then he says, which one of you would give your child a snake? Right? Hungry, give him a snake. Hungry, give him a stone. Which one of you? He said, and the answer is what? Nobody would do that. Why? It wouldn't meet their needs. It would hurt their lives. But then notice what his words were in Matthew 7. He said, if you then, being evil in your fallen state, in comparison to God, know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Why does God get the credit for the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the early deaths and the accidents? Why does God get the credit? Because God's the puppet master in most people's eyes. It's just not true. God is a God of goodness. There's a devil on the earth. Alert, alert. Be advised, there is an enemy on the earth who's doing nasty things, whose resume in John 10 and verse 10 is to steal, kill, and destroy. God does not partner in do-si-do with the devil. God does not do the same things the devil does. But God gets credit for the things the devil does. Well, what happens when people start believing that God's doing the things the devil does? It ruins your faith in him. If you think that God can all of a sudden bless you with something and then rip it out of your hands at any moment, how could you ever have faith? How could you have faith for healing if you think that God's the one that made you sick? Why would you ever think that God would want you healed? It's so unreasonable. It's ridiculous thinking, but it holds people in bondage. God wants heaven on earth. Now go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. I want to show you this now. So many people are living so far beneath what God has offered them, and they just think, well, God must not want me to have this. God must want me sick because I'm sick. God must want... You know how we say this? It's kind of like if... You know, my child, Caleb, he's 11 years old. He's old enough to know. He's old enough to listen to me. Okay, buddy, we have a driveway here. We live on a busy road. You know, people, it's in the country, but it's 55 miles an hour. People go by 65, 70 miles an hour on this road. We got a tree out by the road. Say, you don't ride your bike past this point. He's 11 years old. Can he go out and ride his bike without daddy standing there watching him? Absolutely. Don't ride your bike past that point. Well, my 11-year-old son decides to violate that, or I tell him, you know, you don't climb that tree when I'm not around to help you and make sure I'm here. If he decides to just do his own thing, fall that tree, break his arm, right out to that road and get hit by a car, was that daddy's will? No. Did daddy cause that? No. But why does our Heavenly Father get the credit for everything? Don't the insurance companies call it an act of God? That's what they say. You're insured against an act of God. As if God's the one that says, you know, I think I would love to see a whole city and town destroyed by this tornado. Send it in. He's not partnering with the devil. Well, that's what people believe. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Look what he says. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Notice this. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Oh, we all love grace and peace, but look where it comes through. Knowledge. Not praying. Not begging. Not your good works. The knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Then look what it says in verse 3. According as his divine power, notice the next word, hath. That word hath is not present tense, it's not future tense, it's what? Past tense. According as his divine power, hath. That means he's already done this. Given unto us. That means he's already given unto us all things. Everybody say all things. All things. What are the all things? Well, he tells us here. That pertain unto life and godliness. Well, what's that talking about? The natural realm and the spiritual realm. Life is the natural realm. Godliness is the spiritual realm. He said, I've already given them to you. Well, I know what my next question would be, or my next response would be. Well, if he's already given me health, where's my health? If he's already given me the prosperity that he says in the Bible, where's my prosperity? I'm not living in abundance, people could say. If he's given me peace and comfort and joy and victory, why aren't I living in that? Well, look what it says. He's already given it to us through, there's a transaction here, the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Well, didn't Jesus say, if you know the truth, the result is set free? He didn't say, just because there's truth, you're set free. He said, you have to know the truth. Well, he's promised us healing. He's offered us prosperity. He's offered us victory and joy and peace and deliverance and all these promises. And people say, well, where are they? Pie in the sky, Pastor Mike. No. Just because they're available doesn't mean you'll walk into them. If you don't know about them and apply them by faith, by what he says, you won't have them. Let me give you an example of salvation. You know what the Bible says? It tells you how to get saved. Tells you how to go to heaven. It's so simple. Believe on Jesus. He said to go to heaven. I know religion hates that because it makes it so simple. But that's how loving your God is. He doesn't say pray this many prayers, have this good church attendance, have this, you know, cross this T, dot this I religiously, do this cartwheel, do this backflip. No. He says if you believe on Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. That's what the Bible says. And this Bible, you know, it sits on Walmart shelves and bookshelves all over the world, and people walk by it all the time. And there's truth that will tell them how to go to heaven. But until they know the truth, they can't apply the truth, and they don't get set free, even though there's truth. I told the story last week of how I went out to eat, you know, with a friend. I wanted to bless him, and so I said, you pick the restaurant. Well, he picked a place, and we walked in, and unfortunately for me, they didn't take credit cards. I only carry credit cards all the time. I hardly ever have cash on me. They didn't take credit cards. And so I sheepishly said to him, you know, I'm so sorry, I'll pay you back. He always carried cash on him. I said, you're going to have to pay for this. I'll get you. I don't have any cash on me. That was no problem, you know. But afterwards, I dropped him off, and I was putting something down into my center console, and I noticed a $50 bill down there underneath some stuff. Well, here's the point of this. I had the means to pay for that, but the lack of knowledge didn't matter that it was there. The lack of knowledge kept me from applying it. It's the same thing with the promise of God. People walk through this life having no clue. How do I know? I went to that church my whole life. My grandma went to that church her whole life. My dad went to that church her whole life. What church? They love God. They love Jesus. They're wonderful, sweet, sweet people. Didn't know a lick about what was offered to them. And he didn't say, you get these divine promises because you deserve them. He didn't say because you're such a kind-hearted, sweet soul. No, he said it comes through knowledge. Jesus didn't say you'll be set free based on your church attendance, based on your morality. He said you'll be set free based on what you know or don't know.
That's right.
Absolutely, the dangers of not knowing. And so he says, according to his divine power, he's given us all these things. They're already available. Why don't I have them? You don't know some things.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. So we want to help you know some things. So go back with me to John 8:32. I'm going to help you here in the short time we have left here. John 8:32. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to help people because people just live life. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. And that's how people live their life. That's not how I live my life. When things come against me, God, what have you said about this? Oh, okay, that didn't have to be that way. I believe you, Father, and it changes. Amen. People come up, Pastor Mike, I'm going through this. Oh, you are? I mean, tonight, spotlight's on Zach and Rebecca. Remember, which baby was it that was it breached? Charlotte breached. That wasn't a good situation, was it? But we prayed in the name of Jesus. I said, let me know when the testimony comes. And the testimony came. Hallelujah. Just tell them what the Bible says is offered to them. I'll tell you, that's not coming against people that don't know, because I grew up with those people. And I grew up not knowing, and I lived well beneath what God has for me because I just didn't know it was available to me. It's like that $50 was in there the whole time. It was available to you. Healing's available to you. Prosperity's available to you. Peace like you've never experienced before is available to you. Joy and victory, it's all available to you. A life of deliverance from fear and worry and anxiety and addictions, they're all available to you. But notice, I want to tell you about knowing here because he said it's about knowledge because of what people will say is, I know about healing. I know about prosperity, Pastor Mike. I know about this or that. It's so much more than that. In John 8:32, look what Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. And when you know the truth, what he said, the result is being set free. Well, that word know, remember the Bible is not written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. And so you can get yourself a Greek and a Hebrew concordance. And you can look up these different words. They have numbers with them. And then they'll tell you what the original word was in the transcripts or the manuscripts. And in verse 32, that word know is the Greek word, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but ginsko. Just that G-I-N-S-K-O. And you know what that word, remember that word there, because that's the Greek word. When they're translating this, the Greek word, because they have the Greek and Hebrew language are much deeper, more complex language, the different meanings, different words. But in this manuscript translated from the Greek, it's the word ginsko. Okay, now remember that. Now go with me to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. I want to show you something. Luke 1 and verse 26. And now what this is going to do for you is it's going to shed a light on, okay, I know about healing, I know about prosperity, but I definitely do not know some of these things. And that's what we need. We need lights shined. We need light bulbs to go off. Now remember, John 8:32, ginsko is that word know. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, we're going back to the Christmas story now. And in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. Yeah, I'd probably think, what's going on? Angel showed up. And the angel said unto her, Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And verse 31 says, Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of the father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now look what Mary's response was. You know, they reckon she's about a teenager. Mary said to the angel, how in the world am I going to get pregnant? That's a Pastor Mike Anderson translation. How in the world am I going to get pregnant? And look at what she says. Seeing I know not a man. Now, see, you just read that. You think, know a man? Well, I know Justin. I know everyone that's I know everybody that's in here. Except for you guys back there. I don't know you yet. Alex, Jazzy, Kim, I know you. But not like this. Just to make that clear. But this is what you need to know. She says, I don't know a man. Well, if you look that up in the Greek, guess what that Greek word know is? It's the same Greek word that Jesus used in John 8:32, ginsko. Well, you know what that's referring to there. He said, how can I get, because you don't get pregnant from just knowing somebody. You know what, that's not what she's talking about. And that word, not to get into too much Project Know with young ears here, that word know is talking about intercourse between a man and a woman, obviously. How do you get pregnant? And look what she says. How can this happen? I've never done that. That's never happened. But here's what you have to understand about what God looks at with a man and a wife when that happens. The Bible says in Ephesians, it talks about in the Gospels in Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 31, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. Well, when does the two become one? In the knowing. God doesn't look at a married couple as a separate entity. He looks at when a couple comes together in knowing one another as one. Now think about this. What that same word, it's to become acquainted, intimately acquainted into that deep of a relationship. When Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, what I know about healing, but I'm not healed. I know about prosperity, but why aren't I living it? People could say that. Do you know it like Jesus said you need to know it? What does it mean to know it that way? To become one with that word. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what that looks like in the Bible and what it doesn't look like. When you become one with that word, you become that word. Remember, in God's eyes, when a husband and wife come together, he doesn't see separate man, separate woman. The two become one in his eyes. When a person truly knows the word of God, they've become one with that word. Now, why do many people sit on the outside of it? Oh, they know of healing. They know about this, but they are no way intimately acquainted to the point where they've become one with that word. Amen? I'm going to show you what I mean by that. I'm going to show you what I mean by that, what it looks like. Go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to go backwards even more into the Christmas story here. I want to show you two examples. We're almost done here. Just give me a few more minutes. Hallelujah. I heard that. I don't blame you. That's why I was thinking too. Praise God. I love kids. They just tell you what they're thinking. I love it. Praise. That's what Jesus was saying. Praise God. That's honesty right there. Yes, he's almost done. I agree with you, son. I agree. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, look at this, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we're talking about Zachariah and Elizabeth. They end up being the parents to John the Baptist. But look at this, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of the course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So now an angel appeared to Zacharias. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call her name John. Now remember, she's barren and she's old, and he's old. Naturally, there's no way to have a baby. It says, verse 14, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at your birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Talk about John's ministry, and this is exactly what happened. And he shall go before him in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, to the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared to the Lord. Isn't that the same thing the angel did with Jesus to Mary? Said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and this is what he's going to do. And it's exactly what he did. This is exactly what John the Baptist did. Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Newer translations, if you're studying that word out, basically said, how can I know that this is true? How can I be sure that this is really going to happen? That's what he has doubts here. An angel answering said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you the glad tidings. Basically saying, the way you're going to know this is because I'm the stinking angel of God that stands in the presence of God, and I'm telling you it's going to happen, yeah. Dummy. Yeah. That's what he's saying. In verse 20, he said, and behold, you shall be dumb. What's that mean? Mute. And not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Notice this, because you believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled. And what happened? He went on, got out of the temple, couldn't speak till that baby was born. But what did the angel say? You didn't believe the word of God. Now, what was the angel delivering? Just God's word. It wasn't the angels don't speak on their own behalf. So they deliver God's word. Well, apparently, Zacharias didn't become one with that word. What would be to come one with it? Take it, believe it, and that's the facts. Don't matter what the natural says, don't matter what the calendar says, doesn't matter anything. That's what God said. I've become one with that. I've joined to that. Well, we know he didn't. They said that he, praise God, didn't believe him. Well, then we go to the Mary story. We've read most of that. So I want to go down to verse 34. Go down to verse 34 when Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, you might think she's doing the same thing as Zachariah, but she's not. She's asking a very smart question for a teenage girl. How in the heck can I get pregnant? And then the angel goes and tells her how it's going to happen. See, Zacharias was told it's going to happen. He said, how can I know that this is really going to happen? All Mary asked is, how can a girl who doesn't know a man, how can that happen? And the angel said to her, and the angel answered unto her and said, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When the power of the Holy Ghost comes on you and the power of the Most High comes on you, then the impossible becomes possible. When the Almighty, the Holy Ghost, and the power of the highest comes on your finances, that's how. When it comes on your body, that's how. Praise God. Okay, so she now is told, okay, that's how it's going to happen. Now, she has a choice to say, I'm either going to believe this or say, I don't know, I don't know. No, look what she says. And behold, verse 36 says, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Notice she didn't say, I don't understand this. I'm only a teenager. I've never known a man. It's not naturally possible. What's everybody going to think? Nope. When you become one with the word, you become intimately acquainted with the word, you become what the word says you are. That's why people don't walk into their healing. God says you're healed already. And people say, oh, I know about healing, but I'm not healed. No, 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 no. Your healing will come when you become so acquainted with it that no matter what the natural is saying, that's called faith, by the way, no matter what your symptoms are saying, no matter what the doctor's report is saying, you are the healed of the Lord because the Bible says so. Amen. That's why most people never cross over into the blessings. You are the abundant and blessed and well provided of the Lord, not when the money shows up. Because the money, for most people, doesn't show up in abundance. Why? Because they can't wrap their head around, but my job only pays me this, and my bills are this, and the economy's this. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Yeah. Zacharias was saying, but she's old, she's barren, I'm well past age, we're this and that. All the natural reasons. Yeah, do you think God gives a rip what your job pays you? Do you think God gives a rip what the doctor's report says? No, nothing is too hard for him. That's what you got to get through your head. He's the supernatural. When the natural doesn't come through, he supersedes the natural. That's the point. But no, but many people don't receive of this because they can't get out of their brain. They can't get out of their eyesight. They can't get out of their feelings. They can't get out of what they see. It's true. How many people in the Bible went without? Remember God said to the children of Israel, He just split the Red Sea for them. They came out of a slavery in Egypt. He said, I got a promised land for you. They go into the promised land, and what? There's the wall of Jericho. There's cities. There's fortresses. And what do they say? Oh, we can't do it. We can't have it. Why? Because you can't do it yourself? You're assuming? What about this supernatural God? Zacharias didn't become one with the Word. He was still one with the circumstances. He's so acquainted with the circumstances. Mary said, I know I'm a teenager. I know I've not been with a man, but God said it, so be it. Amen. That's the difference. Faith words versus doubt words. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, or Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, real quick. Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Most people never get to this point. You can know about somebody, not the same as being intimately acquainted with them. Oh, I've heard Pastor talk about healing. I know about healing. Yeah, you don't know it like you need to know it to receive it. Why? Because you're still talking about your symptoms. You're still more moved by what your body's saying. Yeah, that's the truth. Well, I know about abundance of prosperity. Yeah, not enough like you need to know it. Well, how do you know it? Well, because you're still worried about it. You still wonder what's going to happen if the money doesn't come. You haven't become one with what the Bible says. Mary didn't go, I wonder if this is going to happen. No, she walked away saying, I'm having a baby. Why? God said so. She became one. She knew and was set free. Romans chapter 4, in verse 18, look what it says. Talking about Abraham. Remember, Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 when they had the son Isaac. It says, who against hope believed in hope, talking about Abraham, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Now look at this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, which was now dead when he was about 100 years old. What's it saying? 100-year-old men do not have babies. Neither yet the deadness of his 90-year-old wife's womb. Well, in terms of the natural, you better consider the womb. You better consider the bodies. You better consider the age. There ain't no medicine even today that 100-year-olds and 90-year-olds are having babies. He said he got to a place where he said, I don't care. I don't give a flooty-tooty rip about what the natural is saying. I don't care that my body's 100. I don't care that naturally and physically and medically and science-wise it's impossible. He says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger through unbelief. What's staggering through unbelief? I don't know if it's going to happen. What if it doesn't happen? What if the money doesn't come? What if I'm not healed? What if I live with this rest of my life? Staggering through unbelief. You'll never get to the promise. That's the truth. This is a light bulb of why so many promises are preached and so few people walk into them. Can't get past what you see. Can't get past what you feel. Can't get past what the bank statements say. Can't get past the calendar. It's always been this way. Can't get past it. When are you going to just become one with what God has said? When are you going to just join with that word? Praise God. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Look at that. Fully persuaded. Notice this. What he had promised, he was able also to perform. What did he do? Became one. God said to him, you're 100 years old, you're having a son. Well, what did he do? Didn't stagger around in unbelief. Didn't stagger around in what if science, medical, my body, symptoms, what I can see, what I can feel. Sarah's looking a little older, I'm looking a little older, not feeling a spry. No, none of that. God, you said it, okay. Mary, God, you said it, okay. I went through 2 years of an incurable sickness of chronic pain for 2 years. Went to specialists and doctors, spent money, insurance, all the tests, couldn't find what was wrong with me. They came back to me and said, we have no idea what's going on in your body. We have no hope. We have no medicine for you. We have nothing. In 2 years, this is not an exaggeration, I didn't sleep for more than 2 hours in a row, and every time that I would eat, it would make my symptoms worse. Actually, what it would do is it would calm my symptoms for about 2 hours, and then my symptoms would flare up and get even worse. So I went on a 16-day fast during those 2 years and a 9-day fast because food would make things worse. And I love to eat. And I was having midweek services and two services a week on weekends and two services a week during the week in Allegheny and South Dayton and driving, doing weddings, doing other things, counseling people, and I need to eat. But if I eat, it makes it worse. Can't sleep, can't eat right. No hope at all. There was no hope. It's depressing when the doctors tell you, we have no hope for you. I would lay there. I did a wedding one Saturday afternoon. I was in so much pain that when I got out of that wedding service, I literally went home and could wring the sweat out of my suit. I was in that much pain. For 2 years this lasted. 2 full years. No hope, no medicine. Well, but I found a promise. Go to Jeremiah 30. I just want to show you real quick. Jeremiah 30. Praise God. Jeremiah 30. You can believe what the natural tells you, or you can take what God offers you. I choose to take what God offers me, because he says you can have something above the natural. Jeremiah 30, in verse 17. Look what God said. For I will restore health unto you. I needed that. And I will heal you of your wounds. That's what he said. Well, my body was telling me a whole lot different. The doctors were telling me a whole lot different. My symptoms were telling me a whole lot different. But I meditated and meditated and meditated and meditated and meditated on this. And next week, we'll probably have to go to part three in this to tell you how to get there. Amen. And I'll tell you how to get there. But I got to a place. I would walk my dog. I walk my dog every day, Willow. She's a black lab, 4 miles every day. And on that walk, I confess and worship God, and I declare the promises of God that he said over my life. I used to have an iPad full where I'd have to scroll up of things I'm believing for the church, believing for personally, believing for ministry, and believing for my family. And because Jesus said, I'll have what I say, and I would thank God for them, and I'd have to read them off here, and then I'd just start memorizing them because I'd worship him and thank him for them every day. And I just confess to my mom, Father, I thank you, you said this. Father, I thank you, you said this. Father, I thank you, you said this. You're not a liar. I have crossed off so many of these things because God is faithful. Well, I was on the walk, and I'd be walking my dog, and I mean, sweat's just coming out, and I'm in so much pain. And I'm walking her, and I'd go on that walk so I could declare and confess. And just, I'd be on a country road, just get loud. And I'd say, Father, you said in Jeremiah 30, 17 that you would restore health unto me and you'd heal me of my wounds. My health is gone from me right now, and I am wounded in my body. Something's going on in my body to cause this pain. I said, so I thank you according to your word is true. So I thank you, I am the healed of the Lord. Well, about a year went by, and I'm still dealing with this. I got into so much faith. Now, I preached this 2020 is when I got healed, September. I believe it was 2020. I preached that message in September. I would preach that message a year before I ever got healed. I preached the message of my healing as if I was preaching it to a congregation, as if I was standing there with no symptoms. Why? I became one with it. He says I'm healed. I don't care what my symptoms say. He says I'm healed. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care how long it's been. He said it, so I'm become one with that word. Did the same thing financially when I started the church 11 years ago with no salary. Quit my full-time job to stay home with my son and pastor the church full-time. And me and my wife were $2,000 short for 2 years straight. She kept her job. $2,000 short every single month from paying our bills. Most people freak out when they can't find $100. $2,000. Every month, I got zero salary for the church for 2 years. Stayed home with my son, and she kept her job, and we were $2,000 short. But I found a verse. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He doesn't need to give me a salary. And so I'd be on a walk with my other dog, Wrigley, before she passed away in 2017, my yellow lab, and I'd say, Father, I thank you. Every bill I have is paid on time, all the time, every single time, because you said in Philippians 4:19 that you'll meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. What did I do? I became one with that word. And I saw myself as the supply to the Lord. And in 2 years, most of you know this testimony, never was late on a payment, never missed a payment. And in 2 years, we paid every single bill on time and got $60,000 worth of debt paid off. So how is that naturally possible? It's not. But supernaturally it is. Because also during that time, I would say, Father, now I found a woman in the Old Testament. And you supernaturally paid off her debts. Well, you don't love her more than me, so I claim it for myself. And I started saying, Father, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. Because if he said it in the word, I can have it. When I tell my kids they can have something, they're not wrong for coming back to me and say, Dad, are we going to do this? You said so. Just take me at my word. I'm not a liar. So when my father tells me, I'll meet your needs, I'll pay off your debts, I go to him just as a son saying, you're not a liar, Dad, you said. I'm sorry that I'm just one of these people that actually believe God and get results. I mean, how foolish of me to be stupid enough to actually believe God's word. I've seen too many miracle signs and wonders, supernatural, for anyone to turn me away from it now. This stuff works, the word works. Well, and all of a sudden, after 2 years, I noticed one day that the pain was starting to subside, and after about 3 days, where I was like, that's interesting, for 2 years. And then all of a sudden it was gone, and I just naturally was just it was shock to my system. And the money just kept pouring in 2 years. Never stood up and told the church, never told family and friends, never said a word to anybody. Don't need to when you believe God. And God provided, and we got $60,000 worth of debt payoff. How do you get $60,000 worth of debt payoff when you're $2,000 short from even paying your regular bills? How do you do that? God. It's the only way. God. Amen. Yep. Amen? Amen? I want that, Pastor Mike. I want that. If you know the truth, you'll be set free. Not just know of it, heard about it. No, no, no. Become so acquainted with it that you become one with that word. If God says you're healed, I'm healed. And you stand there, and if God says I'm rich, I am rich. I don't care what the bank account says. Care what the paycheck says. Let's be honest. A lot of us realize tonight, I'm not there. Okay, that's great. Let's get there. This is why we have church, to tell you, to reveal things to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The danger is not known. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word tonight. Lord, this has helped all of us. And next week, Father, we're going to look at how do we actually get to that place of knowing, because you've given us the instructions, Father. How can we actually cross over into such knowing that we become one with healing when our body is screaming pain? When our body and symptoms and doctors are screaming sickness and disease? Oh, there's a way. How can we become one with prosperity to where we are so sold out to being rich and fully supplied, when our checkbook and our bills and our paycheck and our salary says something different? Oh, we can get there. You've made it available to us, Father. You want freedom for your children. Lord, you're a good Father. You're a good Father. You've given such good things. And Father, if we don't receive, it's not because of you. You are not withholding. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, all of your promises are yes and amen. You've already told us what you think about all these things. Yes, yes. Yes, the word is. Yes, the answer is. Yes, I want you to have that. Because you're a good dad. You're a good father. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of these people that, Father, anything that they get inside their heart, any revelation, any unction, Father, they would follow up on this. That they would, if they can't be here next week, tune in next week. Figure this out. There's freedom available for all of us. You've made it available to every single one of your children. Father, thank you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Just for everybody else's sake, I'm not trying to be bossy or tell you what to do, but just to be respectful and honored to everybody else, just bow your heads and close your eyes. The first step is to become His child. You know, there's a misconception about God. A lot of people say that everybody in the world is a child of God. That's just not true. God is the creator of all creation, and He is, you know, the God of creation, but He's not the Father to all of creation. And the Bible says that if you receive Jesus, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, to those that receive Jesus, He gave them the right to be called the children of God. Well, it starts with being His child. Once you're His child, you have access to what He has. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus this evening. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I promise you I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. And if you're watching by live stream, you're included in on this. Just ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I would go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is yes. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I go to church. Church attendance doesn't get you into heaven. Lack of church attendance can't keep you out. I don't say I'm going to heaven because of my good deeds. They can't get me in. My bad deeds can't keep me out. I'm not going to heaven because I'm charitable or generous. That can't get me in. Being greedy and stingy and cheap can't keep me out. Jesus is the measuring stick. He is the litmus test. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you can say, I don't know that I go to heaven. Well, you don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to go to any church. But if in your heart of hearts you can say, I'm not sure, but I want to go to heaven. Well, He offered it to you. It's free. That's how much He loved you. Cares about you so much. All you have to do is receive his son. Well, how do I do that? Well, first step is believing in him. If you can say in your heart, I do believe in Jesus. I believe he's real. Okay, you're qualified. The next step is to invite him in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that this evening, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that wants to do that? Again, nobody's eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Anybody want to do that in this service before we close? Again, you're not joining this church. You're just saying, I want to receive what God's offered me. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus before we close the service? Anybody at all? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I don't see any hands in the building, so I trust everyone's walking with you. And if not, I pray nobody would pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. Father, you've only offered good things. And if anybody thinks anything different of you, they've been told wrong. If anybody thinks that you're a God that's angry and out to get them and God of nastiness and cruelty, they've been told wrong. You're a God of goodness. And so if you didn't raise your hand, that doesn't mean you can't receive Jesus. You can pray on your own. And of course, those are people on live stream, I can't see your hands anyways. So I just encourage you, before you lay your head down and go to sleep tonight, just cry out to him. And just a prayer, it sounds something like this: Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean that, he'll do his part. He'll become a father to you and offer you all these blessings. He wants to be such a good dad to you. Father, thank you. Let's just worship him before we close. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and thank you for your kindness. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. Again, next week will be part 3 of The Dangers of Not Knowing. Love and appreciate you. Don't forget the church picnic is next Sunday. Church starts at 9. Picnic will be following that. Love and appreciate you. Have a great rest of your weekend. You are dismissed.